This is a Career Channel program from UC San Diego Extension. Visit us at uctv.tv/careers for videos, employment news, and trend articles to help recent college graduates and those in career transition bridge to better employment.
Hi, it's Jennifer Davies, the Assistant Dean of External Affairs for UC San Diego Extension, and today I'm here for another edition of Career Talk, and this time it is with Ed Hidalgo, who is, and this is a long title, here we go, Director of World of Work Initiative, Mobile Technology Center at University of San Diego. Welcome, Ed. It's great to see you.
Thank you, Jennifer. Great to be here.
So why don't we unpack what this long title is for everybody?
Well, this title is about working with K-12 education to help young people explore the world of work, to bring relevance to K-12 education, helping children find their place in the world, essentially. So that's the work we're doing.
So, okay, well, let's unpack that a little bit because, you know, when I went to school, it was like you studied the stuff you were supposed to study and you kind of talked about, like, what you want to be, an astronaut or an actress, but you really didn't have that deep dive into why you would want to be those things. It was sort of you were either shuttled there because, oh, I guess I'm good at math, but there was never that sort of holistic look. So talk a little about what this is trying to do and how it's trying to help, you know, young people kind of have a better sense of what a career can and will be.
Yes, well, and it's a great question. And a lot of the work comes from my nearly 20 years of hiring talent for Qualcomm. I recently moved to the University of San Diego. While I was at Qualcomm, we started a lab for middle schoolers. It was called the Thinkabit Lab. And part of that experience, the majority of it was around engineering and providing engineering exposure. But at the beginning of the experience, we would open up the opportunity for students, young people, to learn about the world of work. And so Qualcomm has 30,000 employees and not just engineers. They have electricians and plumbers and doctors and accountants. Exactly. There's all these careers. And here are these students, many of whom, first trip ever in an elevator. To come to the lab. They had never left their 5-mile radius of their community. They didn't know that all these careers existed, and to see their faces when they would learn about what a user interface designer does or a human resources professional does or an accountant, they would identify with those opportunities and think, wow, maybe there is a place for me in the world outside of athletics or outside of becoming a musician or something. So it was that work that inspired us to do more and to help every kid find their place in the world.
And we've talked about this a little bit before, but you said that actually the work that you did with Qualcomm employees sort of inspired the world of work because you had, you know, grown people going like, I don't know what I'm doing or why I'm doing it. And so you sort of retrofitted it so you have the conversation before you get to that, like, you know, midlife crisis, I guess.
Complete, 100% yes. And in hiring and working with a great deal of the engineers, the world of work has changed in that corporations will now share with you, it's up to you to own your career. The corporation doesn't own your career any longer. So an employee will look at you and say, that's great, but what exactly does that mean? Because we don't spend any time focusing on this throughout education. We don't spend time around what are your unique strengths, what are unique interests, and what are your values. We might call those non-cognitive skills. We spend more time on the cognitive skills, building knowledge, skills, and abilities.
Yeah, so like you can type 60 words a minute, but does that really align with anything you care about?
100% correct. And so that's exactly what we did there with real career counselors, with real assessments like the Strong Interest Inventory and the StrengthsFinder 2.0 and the Myers-Briggs Type Indicator. We started with assessment. Who are you at the core? What are your strengths? What are your interests? What do you care about? And then what are your work values? And then once we understand that, how can we help you understand your brand, be able to articulate what your goals are, your dreams, your passions, and then how do you align yourself in a way that helps set you up for the future, for success in the future?
So can you give me an example of a person that sort of, or a student that has gone through this and sort of how it shaped them?
I'll give you a perfect example. In fact, 2 weeks ago, I was working with a client. I do some coaching as well as the work that I do with the university. And this was a young man. He was probably 4 years out of college. And he was working at one of the top consulting firms in our nation. I won't share the name, but you know, he essentially had made it. He's this consultant. He's working with clients. He's progressing in his career on the career ladder, so to speak. And we talked our initial conversation, and he goes, Ed, I hate my job. I can do it. I have the skills to be successful. They're putting me at new client sites. I have plenty of work. I don't like the work that I'm doing. And I said, let's think back to when you were a youngster. What are some of the early memories that you have around successes and joy that you had and things that you were doing? He said, probably when my mom took me to a homeless shelter and I worked mentoring young people. He said, I realized that I really want to work more directly with people. I said, why don't we take the strong interest inventory? He does. And early in our conversation, he said, I think I want to be a physical therapist. Well, when we looked at the inventory, number one occupational scale, physical therapist. Just this week, he sent me an email. He said, I'm changing my job.
Wow.
I've decided to go back to college. I'm going to become a physical therapist. I just gave notice.
Wow.
So instantly, I thought two things in my mind, Jennifer. I thought, number one, how amazing that this empirically based and scientific instrument was able to reveal for Grant who he is, what he likes to do, and maybe where he'd like to do it. But number two, how fortunate is he that he has the financial ability to go back to school.
To do over, basically.
How many kids have that opportunity?
No, not many.
We need to get it right the first time. We need to get it right the first time.
Well, and it's interesting the way you talk about, we've talked about this obviously before, but if you get it right at the first time, we live in a changing world. And so your knowledge, skills, and abilities might have to change.
Yes.
But if you have your core down, if you really understand what your strengths, interests, and values are, you're able to weather those changes. You can say, like, okay, I need this new skill, but I still am tied to what I really want to do.
I couldn't agree with you more with that statement. What I often say is, we cannot predict the jobs of the future. We can't. We don't know what's coming next. So for that reason, we should focus on the individual to help them identify their unique strengths, interests, and values so that no matter what the jobs of the future are, they'll still know there's a place in the world for them, right? So these are those key elements that will help them deploy successfully their knowledge, skills, and abilities. You know, the KSAs are what get you hired, mm-hmm. but it's these others that get you fired at the end of the day.
Or promoted.
Or promoted. Or hired.
So the interesting thing, you were talking about some tools that you use in
yes.
terms of assessing. What are those, and how do people have access to them, or sort of, you know, talk a little bit about that.
So when we talk about strengths, interests, and values, they're really, in our practice and the work that I've been doing, there's two instruments that I'm particularly fond of, although there are a number of instruments in these different categories. But when we talk about strengths, there's two instruments that I think are really solid. The StrengthsFinder 2.0 that comes from Gallup. It's an empirically based instrument that focuses on strengths and talents. There are other instruments, the Values in Action organization, it's called VIA. They focus on character strengths. Both those instruments, really great. You can go online and take the assessments. There's some small costs. They're around $10, and you can take those. When we talk about interests, and I think this is part of the magic, is that we combine instruments. So the Strong Interest Inventory is the only empirically based and validated career assessment ever created. It really is a special instrument for so many reasons. Another instrument is called the John Holland Self-Directed Search. Many career counselors will use that instrument in their practice in higher ed. Both of those instruments can lead you to understanding your strengths, your interests, and your values. On their own, they're incomplete. I believe they're incomplete. It's the perfect marriage of both instruments can get you to that place of understanding who you are, what you like to do, and where you'd like to do it, and then how you orient yourself to the world through strengths. So going online, you can research those. If you know a coach or a career counselor, oftentimes they have access to these tools and you can take them. But also some of these you can access online very easily.
And so, okay, say you don't have the money or the time for a coach, but so you've accessed them online. What does it look like in
yeah.
terms of then putting that into action? I mean, sort of, you know, let's do a little consulting for the listeners here.
Sure. Well, I do believe that I'm seeing, let's just focus on the instruments and coaching, because in the perfect scenario, you have high-quality instruments,
mm-hmm.
strengths, and strong interest inventory, combined with high-quality coaching, an mm-hmm. individual who understands how to take you through. And there is a difference between coaching and counseling. Really, coaching is really about helping you achieve your goals mm-hmm. through your strengths, interests, and values. If you don't have a coach, or if you financially that's not something that's available to you at the time, let me just recommend a couple books that I think are outstanding, whether it's What Color Is Your Parachute, which is probably one of the most famous career books ever. I'll give you another one called The Pathfinder by Richard, I think it's Nicholas Lohr. If you follow the process that they outline in these books, you'll be able to have a great experience, I think, take notes, have a career journal, and you're going to accomplish success, I think, in your career path. But, you know, you got to read the whole book. You got to do the worksheets. You got to take time to focus on it.
Yeah, you can't.
You'll get there.
You can't just kind of do the Cliff Notes version.
You can't
it is like a look inside. It's not just reacting or I need a job. It's like I need a career, and that career needs to be an extension of who you are.
Really, I tell folks all the time, I share with them, you know, finding the job is going to be way harder than the job you end up doing one day. It is challenging. It's difficult. And we don't spend nearly enough time focusing on this aspect of our lives. And we know that we identify ourselves so much by what we do.
Yeah, I know. It's like we get so tactical. I need another job. It's a tactical thing. And we don't think strategically. So I'm really interested in the work that you do with kids. So we're trying to get it right the first time.
Yes.
So what does that look like for a kid? Is it the same thing where they do these? It's exposure to different jobs so they can kind of see themselves in it. But is it also taking them through these strengths finders? And what does that look? And what sort of revelations do you see kids having?
Definitely. So there's a number of the instruments that I've mentioned really are meant for high school and above.
Mm-hmm.
There are some adaptations of these instruments. Strengths Explorer from Gallup is one that can be used in middle school. There's a great tool that's called Thrively, which is a great web-based tool to help you discover your strengths. The Strong Interest Inventory is also being adapted to middle school. The beauty of this is that in many ways, you don't need to take the assessments. The Holland theory of career type and personality, it's called the RIASEC. If any of our listeners want to look it up, the RIASEC theory, RIASEC, you can use that without giving anyone a test. You can talk to them about their interests and how they align to these different categories, their six categories, and help them explore. Are my interests related to social themes or to enterprising themes? Are they investigative themes? So that's a real easy and free way to do it. And that's what we're doing with a lot of youngsters.
Mm-hmm.
We're helping them gain exploration through using the language of these instruments, but not giving them the instrument in all cases. But there's also elements of exposure. A lot of young people, they don't know that certain careers exist. So what does an electrician do? And it could be through videos. It could be through live bringing professionals into the classrooms. There's a great system called NEPRIS. And NEPRIS is actually, they're almost like a matchmaker. So if you're a teacher and you want to bring a professional into the classroom virtually, NEPRIS will find that person out in the world of work, and they will schedule to bring them into the classroom virtually with you. So maybe for a capstone of a project, you want to meet with, I don't know, a dolphin trainer.
Mm-hmm.
They will schedule to bring that person into the classroom virtually. So there's lots of ways to do it, and truthfully, I think a lot of schools are doing pieces of this work, but we're trying to bring all the pieces together.
Yeah. Because I'm negative. What are one of the things when we've talked about this before is it's not just like, okay, you've done this assessment and you're good. I mean, sort of staying in touch with what you're doing and why you're doing it is sort of like a lifelong journey. And so you had some, you know, what are some mistakes people make, you know, in their careers? They get complacent. And so what are sort of the tools that you've talked about? You've talked about journaling. You've talked about those kind of things. So what are some mistakes you see people do, and what are some of the recommendations you would have in terms of making sure you're keeping in touch with those strengths, interests, and values so that it's not just a transactional kind of?
Well, I really like what Peter Drucker said. He really known as the founder of modern management, and he wrote an article in the Harvard Business Review in 1999, and he said, "Only when you operate from a combination of your strengths and self-knowledge can you achieve true and lasting excellence." So I think the piece around personal brand and really understanding who you are, that self-awareness, Tom Peters talks about it as well. There's a great book that's called Brand You, understanding your brand, how you operate. I think those elements are key in helping you understand how you navigate your career, where you're headed next. The reality is that changes can come at any time. Are we ready for that? I don't know if it's healthy to stay at a job for more than 5 years. You look at workers up in the Bay Area, they're constantly changing. Every 2 years they're changing, and that's becoming more common. You know, millennials, they're going to have 9 different career changes, right? You've heard all this. Everyone's tired about hearing that. But there's also statistics that, you know, there's 50 million freelancers in the United States currently. So how is the world of work changing? I would say, to answer your question, we need to think of ourselves as You Inc. Mm-hmm. We're our own business. We're our own company. We need to constantly be sharpening our tools, our strengths. We need to understand our brand, how we operate. And, you know, we need to develop a personal board, ideally, like who's on your board. Who are the people that can give you the greatest advice about who you are and what you're doing well, and considering other options. There's always options. And I think the more we move, the more we learn.
Yeah, I do think people get stuck. They're like, this is... You know, I think we've all been there where it's like, my identity is either this job or this company.
Yes.
And you think that's the only thing. And increasingly, you can't think that way. I love the idea of, you know, you're your own corporation and company and you have your brand. Talk a little bit about what goes into that brand. Obviously, it's, you know, your strengths, interests, and values and your knowledge, skills, and abilities. But it's more than that. And, like, how do you crystallize that? Because it can sound, for people that aren't in marketing or, you know, it can either sound really hard or distant. I mean, how do you get to what is that brand? And is there, it's sort of like the elevator pitch that everyone says you need to have. And
it is. Yes, elevator pitch is key. It's a lot of it goes back to how you orient yourself to the world. Like, what is the impact that you want to make? Who are the people you want to be working with? What is the area that you want to be focusing on? Your brand really develops around where you're spending your time, where your greatest impacts are. And I think by understanding that and identifying when you're at your best, we call it peak performance moments, that's how you understand your brand. Here's where I have the chance to do my best work. And those are the things that we should be pursuing in life. Those are the things around our work that we should be pursuing, because that's going to return back well-being. That's going to return back goodness. And I think that's the place where you have the greatest chance to make the most impact.
Okay, what's your brand? Do you have that down?
Well, I think it's a great question. I love how you turn the tables, and I will always take it back to my strengths. My top five strengths are maximizer and belief. So when I have a belief in something, I'm going to do whatever it takes to achieve that, right? To really sell that, I have persuading strengths. Responsibility is one of my top strengths, so it's part of my brand. If I say I'm going to do it, I'm going to get it done. Connectedness is another one of my top five strengths. So I don't want to do it by myself. I want to bring people together to accomplish things. And then adaptability is in my top five as well. So clearly, as new information, changes come at me, I'm going to adapt with those, because that's part of the fun, is not coming in every day with the end in mind, but what are my connectedness folks bringing to the table, and how do we adapt to make this even better than I even thought it could be? So that's my brand, starts through my strengths.
Okay. So when you look at your strengths and you look at a work environment, this is a little bit off topic, but knowing your strengths also helps you navigate the people that you work with. So is it good also to sort of make sure that you know what the personality types? I mean, everyone has to, it's when you're in a larger organization, we all do this personality testing, so we know who
yes.
we are and how we're dealing.
Yes.
But I mean, that's important both when you're in a company as well as you're going through the job search, right?
Yes. Some of the most fun I've had with strengths is not only understanding myself, but watching team members as I rolled out strengths over time, how they would include others in projects who had different strengths. What we often say is, we don't need to be well-rounded individuals. What we need to be is well-rounded teams. Mm-hmm. So let's focus on our strengths. Let's elevate those strengths. Let's get them to their highest point. Let's get them to the balcony, as we often say. Get them out of the basement. Let's get them to the balcony so they can be at their best. And then how do you partner together? I think that's the beauty of the language of strengths, is bringing people to the table who are different than you, appreciating those strengths, and working together to achieve that common goal.
Okay. All right. So I guess the one, we got one more minute here. Is there any final advice that you would give to someone who is either miserable in a job or in college thinking about, or at any time of their life, yeah, thinking about what they want to do?
If you're in college, you should definitely, I think that this work that we're talking about today, there should be a freshman seminar for every student that focuses on strengths, interests, and values. And you should understand those elements of who you are before you start selecting majors. If your college doesn't offer that, and many do not, you should go to career services and ask the career counselors there, the college counselors, to give you the strong interest inventory and the strengths finder. They know what they are. Take those instruments. Understand how you orient yourself to the world, where your interests lie. And the strong specifically will tie interests and values back to college majors, internships, real world of work. Those are the types of things that we need to be doing in order to help young people find their path.
Okay. Well, great. Well, thank you so much. This has been an awesome conversation, and I hope we get to do it again.
Thank you, Jennifer. I appreciate it.
Thanks.